Hi everyone, welcome back to Poderosas FC Radio. I'm your host, Maite, and today I have a very special guest host, Emily, who we've been waiting to have on for, you know, four episodes now. we keep asking and it finally paid off. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you. I know I was procrastinating a bit. I'm a little nervous, but I'm happy to be here.
I think it's gonna be a great episode because, you know, we've built the suspense, we've built the tension, if you will, and it's time for is this the finale of the Founders series?
Maybe.
Is it? Are you the last one? Is it four of you?
No, I mean technically six. So you might still have a few more folks to get to.
All right, good. I mean, I'm happy to have more people on. All right, great. Well, we're gonna start off with some Poderosas announcements, then we're gonna talk about a little bit about our guest host and dive deeper into her history with Poderosas, with ACFC, and then we're going to talk about football, you know, as always.
Yes.
All right, great. Well, if you haven't already heard, our second to last home match of the regular season was postponed to October 2nd, and it's still going to be our Celebraciones de Cultura game featuring Lupita Infante as the anthem and performer. It's now on a Monday. But I'm hoping that our ACFC fam still shows up and shows out like we always do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they have an amazing, just different activities lined up. And if y'all haven't seen, the merch dropped today. I already ordered the scarf. It looks beautiful. and all of the proceeds go to Salvis Who Lunch. I'm half Salvadorian. So, hey, to the Salvi community.
Shout out to Salvis Who Lunch.
Yes.
That's awesome. And yeah, I mean, we're obviously we're recording a few days in the past from when this episode comes out, but I'm very excited. I'm going to be showing up literally airport to game because
you're a true fan.
It's called a true fan. It's called rescheduling your flight in order to make the game.
Yeah. You know, it's sometimes a little frustrating when that happens. Obviously, we know like situations come up. But, you know, I saw a lot of the comments on the post that people had booked flights, had made plans, taken days off. So it is a little upsetting when it happens so close to the game. But, you know, they did this also with the Juneteenth game and people still showed up. So I think, you know, we love our team and we're down to the last two home games. So come out, people.
Yes, exactly. It is tough. Yeah, I know people who were going to come out here specifically for that game. I feel for them. I really do. But yeah, we also had our first official ACFC night at Dodger Stadium, and Poderosas rolled deep. We had a lovely, lovely time. Alyssa Thompson threw the first pitch because our little kid, she's growing up so fast, you know?
Yeah, that was so much fun. Oh my goodness. We took over so many rows, and then I love the baseball cap with the pink LA sign. You know, I needed an ACFC cap, so I'm happy to be rocking that one from now on.
It's going to be my main hat because I wear a Dodgers hat a lot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now I have another one. It's going to be nice.
Best of both worlds, Dodgers and ACFC.
It's a collision.
We're also really excited about the Playing Pool fundraiser that we're having in Long Beach for Special Olympics. It's going to be happening Saturday, basically from 9 to 3. But the ACFC team, which you can still join or donate to or just show up to cheer. We're going to be going on between 11:30. And yes, we are, as a team, going to be pulling a plane. And there's different teams competing for, I guess, like the length that you're able to pull or the distance that you're able to pull the plane. So it should be fun. We participated in it last year and drummers came through. We had fans, you know, just everyone coming together to support our team. So feel free to join us, and all the information you can find on our Instagram.
Yeah, and I'll also put a link in the description. That's September 23rd. It's a Saturday. So
And some of us are thinking of heading to the beach afterwards, so you can make it a whole Long Beach day.
Yeah, I mean, I find Long Beach to be super fun, personally. All right, and I think that's it for announcements. We're a little light. We're coming to the end of the season. We're holding to see how it goes for playoffs. You know, there's hope. There's still hope, right? So you guys will know more than we do right now because we're in the past. But
yeah.
the game on Sunday against Chicago has not yet happened. But we're going to speculate about that later. All right, Emily, please let tell us about yourself. You're I just want to say this real quick. You're my Poderosa's sponsor. You're the person who sponsored me into the group and has led to like one of my favorite years ever in LA. So
that's awesome. I love this team
and thank you so much for sponsoring me and getting me in this.
Yeah, and now you are like started our podcast. So this is amazing. You're great. A great addition to Poderosas. I'm glad that I was able to be your madrina.
Yes.
Let's see. I am a community school coordinator, which basically means that I support our school community. I work at a high school in Boyle Heights, right down the street from where we're recording. And essentially, you know, I look for resources and services to support our students and their families so that they can, you know, just focus on school. I support with mental health, I support with restorative justice, you know, I kind of wear a lot of hats at my high school. And before that, I was an English teacher for 12 years. So I've been in LAUSD for 17 years. And something that was important to me was to live where I worked. And luckily, my first job was at a middle school in Boyle Heights. So I've been in Boyle Heights for 17 years.
That's incredible. Yeah. You've probably seen a lot of transformations here.
Yeah, a lot. And I just feel like it's important to kind of really be in, you know, involved in the community. And, you know, my experience has always been teachers that kind of drive in, drive out. And I didn't want to be that educator. So, and Boyle Heights is beautiful. So I'm so happy to have, you know, put my anchor in here. And now my kids, I raised the whole family here. So, yeah, really happy to be serving the community of Boyle Heights.
That's amazing. And then you ended up, community is obviously very important to you because now there's Poderosas as a community, which you helped found. I imagine that your story with Poderosas and ACFC mirrors a lot of what Almas and Daisy's and Claudia's was because you all started together.
Yeah. So like them, we were all big LAFC fans and we were part of a supporter group. And a lot of us are in the East Side and are doing important work in the community. And so I think when we heard that there would be the potential of having an LA women's soccer team, like we just knew that we wanted to be a part of it from the beginning. And also, you know, to break away a little bit from men's soccer and all the work that we were doing there. But really support and put all our energy and our hope and love into supporting the women's team. And because community is so important to us, you know, we're very intentional. I mean, you know, it's okay. Like, also we have fun, right? I love going to the tailgates, having drinks. I love going to the stadium and chanting. But I also love spending time with, you know, Poderosas. I'm really proud of all the folks that it's kind of drawn into, including you. It says a lot, I feel, about our group. And, like, I actually do want to hang out with y'all off season. I do want to go to events. I do want to support work that you know, that everyone's doing. And so it's definitely a special, like, community, a sense of family for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. What you guys have created, I mean, I probably sound like a broken record, but it's incredible. It's been such an amazing time, but I would love to take it back with you to, you know, your history with football, how you fell in love with football and how it came into your life.
Yeah, you know, I think I actually didn't play football. I know a lot of the previous folks that have been here actually played soccer. I was more of a runner. I did cross country and track and field, but I wasn't even like that much of a committed athlete. But, you know, I was born in L.A., Echo Park area, and then I moved to Guatemala with my family and attended an international school. And so I spent, you know, a lot of time with my aunt and uncle that lived out there. And my uncle, you know, I had a very strong bond with him. And, you know, he would take me to the soccer games in our hometown. So I'm from Quetzaltenango, Xelajul, and our team. You know, Super Chivos.
Shout out.
Yes. Super Goats. you know, we would go watch them. And I remember I would go really just for the snacks and to spend time with him and be in this commotion. And it was a very adult space. Like, I remember my uncle being like, do not repeat anything you hear. And he would, you know, carry me on his shoulders, buy me like tortricks, which is our chips over there, and soda. And I was just so happy to be there. And, you know, and our team has been doing great. We just won like the Guatemalan like championship this past year. Whoa, so yay, go Shelahu. But yeah, so I think for me, that was like the last memory I've had of football, was like that warm feeling I had of spending time with my tío, and getting to go spend time with him in the soccer stadium. And then life happened, you know, I moved back to LA, I had kids, I raised a family, schooling, politics, and so I wasn't really into sports, actually. I don't think, I mean, I would watch like big games, like World Cup, kind of pay attention, but it wasn't like such a big part of my life. And then I think what happened was that, you know, I got really into my career and into like building, you know, my family, raising my family and everything, that I got to a point where I was starting to burn out. And I remember thinking, I have nothing that's just mine. Like, for example, I love running. I started running again. I ran a few marathons. Oh, I started casually. I know, just casually. I ran, you know, ran a few marathons. But I ran with students, and I coached students to run the marathon. I love photography. I'm the board chair of Las Fotos Project. And, you know, again, trying to make sure that youth have access to photography and these spaces. So I started realizing that, like, everything that I did included youth, which is great. I love it. It's like my calling. But I started realizing that there was nothing that I could say, this is just my hobby. It's just mine, you know. And it was something that I was thinking a lot about. And then one day, my friends that are Guatemalan, Minor and Flori, invited me to an LAFC game. And it was towards the end of the first season. And I went, and we stand in the supporter section, and I was like, oh my God, this is so much fun. Like, here, and you know, and I look up to them, like they're community organizers, intellectuals, and I'm like, here they are, like chanting, waving, like we're jumping up and down. And I was kind of like, oh, like, you know, I can release some of this stress. I can release, like, I can have fun and be able to, you know, like enjoy myself, which is something that, you know, sometimes when you're, you know, I have had moments where I'm definitely a little like addicted to work and things like that. And I don't give myself time for myself. And so that moment, it was kind of like aha moment. And yeah, and I came back the second season, and then I was like, well, you know, I'm drinking, so I can't bring youth around, you know. And I took my kids actually to the first game, and they were like, yeah, we'll come here and there, but it's not really their thing. So they were like, you do you, mom. And I was like, really? Like, this can really be my space. And so I think honestly, like, football has now, for like the past 5 years, been like my sense of like joy and also self-care and like community care too, because it involves other people. But it's also like this just uninhibited joy that I didn't know I could find that's not connected to work.
Yeah. I mean, I completely see that. Like, as soon as you were saying it, you're like, yeah, this is a place where you can just release, mm-hmm. scream your head off. Yeah, that's therapeutic.
It is. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's one thing that I've really thought a lot, especially as you're getting older. And I really love the narratives now have shifted about talking about mental health, because I feel like for a long time we were kind of taught to like suck it up and just like always, you know, like have this persona, right? And especially coming from children of immigrants, right, we kind of have to have this like overachieving identity. And I kind of fell in that trap, and now I'm like, oh no, I need my time. Like, when people try to like, you know, invite me to like a conference or a meeting, I pull up the ACFC schedule, I pull up the LAFC schedule, and I'm like, nope, there's a game that day. Like, I really like set the boundary that's my time. And even my family now knows it. Before, they'd roll their eyes, like, oh, there's a game. But now they know, like, no. Like, and also, like, it's an investment. I'm paying for it, right? I'm a season ticket holder for ACFC. So I'm like, I am going to get my money's worth. But also, it's my time.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is another reason why it would be lovely if we could keep our schedule.
Yes. That's, like, my therapy.
Yeah, like, oh, my therapy got postponed. Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. And I mean, even in your community life and your educator life and all your parts of your life, mental health is such a huge like thing for you.
I support a lot of our students' mental health, you know, and I know in Poderosas too, we have a lot of people that are like social workers, therapists, you know, working with immigration and or, you know, like working in the ER, things like that. And so I think that for many of us, this is our outlet to release some of that stress and to also just, you know, have that, allow ourselves to be just happy and like ecstatic and obsessed with our players and things like that. I also feel like we're seeing that reflected back too. Like, I really appreciate the way that soccer and the athletes are really talking about mental health. And not just in soccer too, right? Like, I think I was really like in awe when like Naomi or like Simone Biles, right? Like took time and said like, no, I need to focus on my mental health, and then came back just stronger, right? And you're like, oh, like, yeah, we do need those breaks. We do need time to heal. And then, you know, during the World Cup, you know, there was such a push because of what happened, you know, with Katie Myers, right? Like, Naomi Germain, and was very, you know, that was her best friend. And I, you know, we have a lot of players actually that came from Stanford, but
Sophia Smith was
also. So I think like a lot of them were like really impacted by her death. And I think that instead of like, again, hiding it, right, they brought, shed light to it. You know, there was actions happening during games. And then they formed that, you know, platform to really provide resources to coaches, because a lot of times that's who's going to notice if an athlete needs that support. Shout out to our Poderosa Dani. Like, she was once telling me, like, she actually coaches trauma-informed practices, and I was so mind blown when she told me that, because I was like, oh wow, like that makes sense, right? Like, a lot of times we think like mental health is this like, you know, like you're in a clinic with a therapist with a clipboard, and it's no, like it's embedded in everything that we do, and athletes are working their butts off, and they're like, it's so physical demanding that they also need that space to talk about their mental health, which is what I think Naomi and Sophia Smith and a lot of the players brought to light.
Yeah, I mean, the beautiful game, I feel like, you know, is one thing to me.
Yeah.
What, like, has added to that, specifically in, like, women's football, is, like, the extra length that we go to.
Yes.
The extra length that, I mean, sometimes ACFC, sometimes the rest of the NWSL, sometimes globally. Yeah, it goes to the next level, you know? Yeah. Like,
what and even when you're talking about like the abuse, right? Like when the whole like
the Spanish league,
don't get me started with that, but like that's a perfect example, right? Where women can't just celebrate their hard efforts. It's being clouded by, you know, sexism, misogyny. Like, they're gonna need therapy. Like, what the hell was that? You know, like, it just got kind of like taken away from them, and everyone had an opinion about it. And the same with, you know, when the NWSL cases came up like a few years back,
like a year ago.
And it was like shocking to know that they had undergone so much abuse for so long. So, yeah. So I feel like it's important that these topics are coming out publicly and that we're able to see it because of media and everything, because I think it's allowing us to, one, demand that those issues get addressed, but then also the component of like, how do we begin to make sure that our players heal and have support?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can only hope that progress continues. I think that's the direction that we're headed in. Yeah. I think like putting money into this game, into this league, into this sport is a part of it, of course, but I hope that we can continue to be there as supporters and, you know, for those specific things, because it's more important. I would rather, you know, see ACFC or whatever team put those services forward and prioritize those things than winning. Like,
yeah.
Winning will win eventually.
Yeah. And like, I think we see that too when our players have been injured, right? And we've had a lot of injuries, unfortunately. Oh, yeah. And they've been very open about like the pain that comes with that, the expectation, the being like forced to like feel like they have to get back on it, but then like they're not ready or things like that, you know, or like even like, you know, Press has been out for a long time and she's, right, you know, really shared about that whole experience. And I feel like none of us have been like, nope, to like get back on there, yeah. You know, like none, like I feel like, yeah, like our fan base is very like supportive of our players when they're injured or need time.
And shout out to our current and interim coach, Becky. She's been very, like, open with everyone, saying, like, she needs to take the time she's going to take. Like, the time it's going to take is the amount of time that she needs. And to me, like, that's incredible. Like, yes, transparency, not that, like, they owe us that information, but being always adamant, like, the time that they need to take is the time that they're going to take. Simple as that. You come back when you're ready, not before your time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and she's looking forward to the long term, and we're also looking forward to the long term. Like, let's announce her already.
I know, and sometimes I forget, like, we're barely here, too. Like, we want to, like you said, be in the long term, and, I mean, we're hoping, we have hope that we might make it this time around, but if not, la tercera la vencida. I feel like third time's a charm, we got this, but we've seen their growth. And I love the way that they seem to enjoy their company. Like, I love seeing their Instagram accounts and how much fun they have together. And it seems like they've really nurtured a very loving and supportive space.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who knows what's going to happen next season too, right? Like, things could 100% shift. Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for now, we have this beautiful team. We're supportive of our players forever. So.
Yes.
Speaking of our players, I have to know, who is your player of the pod? You know, every single episode, we have a player that we want to highlight, who we love, and now it's your turn.
I know. I feel like the Poderosas already claimed some of my faves from previous. Like, I love Madison. I love Alyssa. I love... But I will add someone new to the mix. Sydney LaRue.
I love Sydney LaRue.
I love her. I feel like she's such a badass, but also, like... So, like, I'm a single mom, right? And so to see the way that she is so funny as a mom, and just, like, the stuff that she'll post about Rue and Cass, and she's so, like, just, you can tell, like, she loves being a mom, but then she's able to also share, like, you know, the balance of being, like, an athlete. Like, her kids are always on the field, right? Like, she brings them along with her. And they're just, you know, such a big part of her life. And so I feel like that automatically, like, you know, she's sharing vulnerability, because when you share your kids' lives, like, that's you being vulnerable.
Yeah.
But I also love her sass, her, like, freaking, like, comebacks, like, you know, when she sent that tweet, like, you shouldn't be talking smack unless you have gold medal on the podium, so now bye. Like, I was like, oh yeah. And she'll do that, you know. And she was another person who was really outspoken with all the cases that came out too. You know, she was in Orlando Pride, where there was a lot of the problems, situations happening there. And so I appreciate her for that. Like, I just recently found out that she, you know, did the first hat trick ever in NWSL. And, you know, when she was out during her injury and then came back and she just scored a goal, like, she's just a powerhouse. So yeah, I really love Sydney.
She has incredible impact on the field. Mm-hmm. And I think she has an incredible voice. Like you said, she's very outspoken about things, and I think she's gotten to a point where luckily people really respect her opinions, and like, no one can shut her down at this point. Like, and I love that I get to see her in that place in her life.
And I know some of the Poderosas attended a couple, like, World Cup parties that were put on by, like, different organizations or media outlets. And she was in two of them. And I wasn't there, but from the Poderosas that attended, they said that she was really down to earth, like, great to talk to, and, you know, took pictures with everyone and just seemed like... you know, so, like, very open person. So I'm like, yay. You know, like, it's always good to hear that, like, when people run into these players, like, that they're, you know, like, accessible.
I can vouch for that. She's very approachable.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She's super sweet. I have a little selfie if you ever want to go look.
Oh, lucky.
She's so nice.
I need
nice.
A selfie with her for sure.
Oh, it'll come. Like, she's super great about that stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Sydney LaRue. All right, great. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. I always love hearing everybody's football stories, and I love hearing people's favorite players, because I love all our players. Like, I have good things to say about every single one of them.
Yeah, for sure. We have such a beautiful team.
We do. But let's get into our ACFC weekend recap, which is going to be a little incomplete, because, like I said, we're recording this episode before our latest game, which happens for us on Sunday, which happened for you on Sunday. But this segment is called No Pasa Nada, a segment where we talk about all the happenings around ACFC. So before we get into actual games, we're going to talk about this big, huge thing that happened, which is Julie Ertz has left ACFC.
Yeah, she totally announced her retirement.
Yeah, and, you know, we thought it was a delayed return from the World Cup. It's a retirement, at least from league football, because she is having her send-off with the national team during the friendlies, the international friendlies that the U.S. women's national team is having. In the ACFC world, it was a little controversial. We were a little hurt. Felt a little upset that she wasn't going to finish out the season with us. Me, personally, I trust in Hammond. I think even if our midfield is, you know, a little incomplete sometimes, I have trust in our players. And especially with this run, you know what, we haven't had Ertz in months.
Yeah, honestly, like, I can't even say that she added much or did. Like, she was so sporadic. I don't even know how many times we actually saw her play.
She had injuries. Yeah, we didn't get a lot of her when she was here, right?
Yeah. So, and I think that's why, like, people are a little upset, because, like, they made such a big deal about it, and then, you know, she didn't really play, and so a lot of people are feeling, like, a little used. Yeah. Like, you know, she needed to be part of a team to do her last World Cup, and so it happened, and then she, like, there's only, like, a few games left. But, you know, like you said, I mean, we have Hammond, we have amazing players, and I think we'll do fine.
Yeah, absolutely. But speaking of international duty, we've had so many call-ups for our team. I think it's just making it so obvious how much talent we have in Angel City. Allie Riley for New Zealand, Alyssa Thompson for the U.S., Scarlett Campbell for Mexico, Claire Emsley for Scotland, Armandine Henry for France, June Endo for Japan. Talk about freaking international. Yeah. Like, this team is so talented.
It's so awesome. Like, I feel so proud. I mean, I know that that's part of the reason why they moved the game, because, you know, right, people felt like they wouldn't have a full team with them.
Which is fair, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is still in contention for that playoff spot. Yeah.
And then there's going to be some really cool, like, friendlies too in California. And I know a lot of the Poderosas are thinking of going to go see the friendly with the U.S. women's national team against Colombia.
Right. It's in San Diego. So yeah, we're just down the road at our enemy's territory.
I know. But, oh my gosh, Colombia played so good. So I'd love to see them in person. So I might join that trip.
Yeah, if I'm in town, you will find me there at Snapdragon Stadium. Yeah, there's a lot of them are friendlies for Japan, the U.S., and I believe New Zealand. Those are all friendly matches. But there's also Scotland and France who are doing the UEFA Women Nations League. And we have Mexico who's doing the qualifiers for the Women's Gold Cup versus Puerto Rico and Trinidad. I will be tuning into that one.
Yeah, for
personally.
Sure.
So some of it's serious, some of it's not. No matter what, you know, we're coming off of a World Cup. We still want to see these players. We loved watching these players, right? I mean, at least I did.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like a lot of, you know what, it was so beautiful about the World Cup was so many teams that made it up there in the ranks, you know, that we weren't necessarily expecting. And they just played so well. And, you know, Japan did amazing, and definitely Colombia. So it's exciting to still have an opportunity to see them play.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, getting back to ACFC a little bit, the last game before last, another away game, Angel City against Kansas City. We scraped by, right? We got 1-0, and, you know, we played really well. I think we played like a winning top team, but we still scraped by, right? We still got way less goals than we should have gotten. And that one goal that we got was from Spencer, who finally got a regular season goal with ACFC, and it was the game winner. So proud of her.
I know. You know what I found out is that she's my birthday twin. We both have August 27th. Birthdays. And also Fish.
Shout out to Fish, who I got to co-host the Three Things to Know.
I know.
TikTok. Catch
me
on.
That was really exciting.
ECFC. Yeah, thank you guys for recommending me. I was super excited to see that. I was also very excited to see Angelina Anderson having her first regular season.
She's a really strong goalie. It's nice to know that we have, you know, incredible options.
Yeah. Really, really good backups. I was a little surprised, right? Brittany has been with our team for a while.
Yeah.
But Angelina Anderson, obviously, really proved herself in her one game during the Challenge Cup, and then proved herself again, keeping a clean sheet and making some really crucial saves during that game.
Oh yeah, there were some that I was like, oh no, but she totally, it was just amazing. She did, she really blocked some. We definitely scraped by in a few parts of that game.
She's becoming a quick favorite for everybody, and a lot of people can see her as a first string keeper for 2024. Yeah. I think, you know, she's earning her spot very, very quickly. Shout out to her. I think she's great.
Yeah, I agree.
If I haven't mentioned it enough, you know, we are recording a couple days before the game of Chicago Red Stars. It was on Sunday, October 17th. If they won, please, you know, leave us a comment on Instagram saying we did it, hashtag believe. That's why, because September.
Yeah, I was like, wait, that's like a long, I was like, we have a couple games before that.
Sunday, September 17th. Yeah, so, because I believe it. I believe that we will. But, you know, let's just go through all the possibilities. I don't know what's going to happen. But if we talk through what a win would mean for us, in a world where no more movement happens, with a win, we would move into playoff position. We'd be in sixth place. And, I mean, that'd be incredible, right? We got up to seventh place for a day or two, and that felt really good. So sitting at sixth place would look even better. We could potentially even go to fifth place if we absolutely rain goals on Chicago.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? They have it coming to them. They beat us at home. Obviously, we're going to go beat them at home, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
they have Nair, who's a U.S. Women's National Team goalie, and that's an incredible goalkeeper. I'm not afraid to admit that.
Yeah.
They've also conceded the most goals in the league this season.
Okay.
So, you know, they're sitting at 11th place. That puts a lot of pressure on them. They might be out of the running for playoffs if they lose that game, depending on how all the teams do. However, if we draw, we still, I believe, could potentially bump up to 7th. And yeah, so no matter what, though, we need the win.
Yeah, we definitely do. I mean, you know, I feel like this has been such a beautiful, like, comeback season, right? Like, first half was really rough. And I think, like, you know, as we've mentioned in previous episodes, like, Tweed is definitely, I mean, undefeated and has been an amazing, you know, I think just being a new coach, right? Not a new coach, but, like, being the interim coach. I mean, she's earned her spot. I kind of feel like they should just offer her the head coach, but I don't know. I don't know how people feel. I know it's LA. It's like it's a big, you know, task to have, but she's proven herself thus far.
Yeah, there's some questions about the particular license that she carries.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, just go get her the license, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do we got
to
do?
Yeah, the point is that from our last coach to this coach, there's been such an improvement. And so it's always like a little frustrating for me because I'm like, had this happened from the beginning of the season, like we would have been a shoo-in for sure.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely possible.
Yeah. But for now, I mean, let's get those wins. It just puts us in a more like cushiony spot versus like constantly always being like scraping by, you know? And so I think like I would really love to have just like that sense of like, yes, we're in and that's it and we're good. But
yeah, well, our last game is against the very formidable Portland, so the 11th place team, I feel like that's the team we have to beat. The Houston game, we have to beat. Like, these are games that are supposed to be easy, and we've had a very backwards season where we lose to bottom teams and beat every single first place team. So I understand that we've been very unpredictable, but the one thing that is easily predictable, we're the only team that has a run that we have, like, undefeated 11 games.
Yeah, it's been amazing to see that.
Yeah, who has the hopes of beating us? Who?
Like, I know. And I'm really excited because you know, I've always done the San Diego game, but I'm planning to go see them play Houston Dash, and so it'll be like, I feel like an official away game, because it'll be, you know, out of state.
Yeah, good luck in that Houston humidity.
I know, I'm not looking forward to that, but I am excited, and I know that Daisy and Omar, other Poderosas, are also going, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, you guys gotta go out there and represent for us, like,
yes.
Houston Dash, who I've for a long time wished they would transfer to Dallas, because Dallas Dash sounds cool. And Houston, they don't get a huge crowd.
I know it's hot,
but like even so, they don't get a big crowd. And I'm like, maybe my hometown Dallas would show out.
Yeah, hey.
Dallas Dash, let's make it happen.
Yes, for sure.
But yeah, so let's look at the NWSL news in general, right? Like, a lot is going on. Everything is gearing up. And North Carolina has been a very strong team. But, you know, I've noticed this pattern of like all the top six teams, right? We've had a top six teams that have stayed in those top six numbers the entire season, hasn't failed. And North Carolina is one of those, but they've had a really bad last four game run.
That's true.
Like two draws, two losses. Like they haven't had a win, you know, since like in five games.
Yeah.
So that's quite a bit. Another team that's really struggling, Washington Spirit. They haven't won in over five games. They're like, the reason that I look at this is because I'm like, who does ACFC have to knock out to get in their spot? And the people that are at risk at getting their spot stolen is Washington, Gotham, and I would argue North Carolina, maybe even Olo Rain. They're back. They're coming back, especially now they got their teams coming back. But all these top teams are struggling, and all the teams that are kind of on the up and up, it's us, obviously. But Louisville, who lost just now to Houston. Houston's kind of like had their first win in a very long time, actually, today. And that's the next team we're facing.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't even just focus on, like, who am I going to knock out? You have to focus on all the other people who are trying to knock them out, too.
Yeah, that's true, too. And I mean, and at the end of the day, like, we also just need goals, right? Like, to add those.
The differential.
Yes.
That's true. We could end up with like a freaking three-way tie for sixth place.
I remember last season we were joking because I think it was like we needed
our final game.
Yeah, like 18 goals or something.
So
like
you're
that.
Saying there's a chance.
Yeah, we would be all like, all right, 17 more to go. And we were just like, oh, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice, like you said, to go beyond the 1-0s or the draws. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said, I have a lot of hope, especially the way that things are going. Things are going in our direction, you know, hashtag believe, all of that.
Yes.
ACFC could very well be the ones to push out Chicago and could be the ones to push out Houston. If we beat both of those teams, like, we could be the people that shut those teams down. Yeah. And that sounds a bit cruel, but, like, you know.
Hey, we're just trying to win, like, at this point.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. This, you know, isn't actually very much NWSL news. It's more like a critique from me, but it's worth mentioning that the Women's Super League is making moves right now, right? I'm so jealous because OL Reigns, Valentilis Joyce, this incredible, incredible goalkeeper, is going off to Manchester United.
That's right.
Yeah, and there's an ongoing battle for Mary Earps, right? Big fish. She was like poached from Tigres by Chelsea earlier this year and finally got a call up to the U.S. women's national team. There's so many moves happening, like, you know, in Europe, and seeing how this World Cup went, like, hello, like, what are we doing?
For sure. I mean, I feel that's the thing, right? Like, we've seen all the, like, statistics and everything about how the World Cup and just women's soccer in general is really being given now, like, the media attention, the platform. We're talking about sold-out stadiums, like, more viewings than, like, the men counterpart of sports, right? And then this happens, right? And you start getting, like, European leagues interested and just, like, you know, them getting offers. Which also then puts it on us on, like, well, what can we offer our players, right? How can we make it so that, you know, fish shouldn't have been in Tigres, you know, like,
there's, or I mean, you know, I love Liga MX.
I do too, but I meant like the fact that Liga Mexicana actually pays their players and treats them better than some of the NWSL
or that goes after these players properly.
Yeah, like, so I feel like then now we have to step up. Like, we're gonna lose such amazing players if we're not being competitive, if we're not going out there, you know, like, yeah, like, why isn't there more like Liga Mexicana folks like in our team?
Yeah. Are, especially,
you know, like, Scarlett is there because she, in a way, like, chose to leave America, you know, because of the situation she was in. It wasn't necessarily that, like, ACFC went and, like,
scouted her.
Yeah, scouted her. And so I'm always like, why isn't
you know, our like recruiters going out to Liga Mexicana, especially being in LA.
Being our neighboring country.
Because honestly, you see the way that the crowd reacts, and me included, when we play their teams, you know, like people show up and it's, you know, that it's a lot of our fans are Mexican-American. And so to be able to have more players from Liga Mexicana, I think would make a big difference. But for some strange reason, that's not happening.
It's not like, I mean, we critique the, you know, women's national team for their recruitment efforts. I'm going to critique the NWSL for the exact same thing. So, in between the second season of ACFC, I was like, why are we not going after Ordóñez?
Yes.
And just last thoughts, I mean, regarding the NWSL, this is a threat from me. If Utah or the Bay comes for any of my Angels, I'm going to personally riot.
Yes, I would be really upset. I mean, I'm excited for Bay FC. You know, for sure. But if any of our girls go over there, I would feel a certain way.
Yeah, but I'm excited, you know, for Bay trips. I don't know that I'm going to be going to Utah, but I'm excited for Bay trips.
Yeah, for sure.
Just don't come for my girls, like, you know, just don't.
I know.
Yeah. But let's move on to Adelante. That's our upcoming games discussion. Like I said, no idea how the Chicago game went. Let's just take a guess. 3-0 Angel City win.
Yes, for sure.
But now we have a home game coming up on October 2nd, like we said, on Monday. So make sure you don't show up on Thursday, the 21st. Hopefully we get all our international players back. From what I heard, they are all going to be back in time. They might miss practice, which usually means limited minutes. But I just want them back happy and healthy, you know, because every single match, even this one against Orlando Pride, is essential for us to win and to make playoffs. Orlando also has a couple of losses, a few wins, but this season they haven't gotten the best of us. So I think I'm pretty confident in that game, even if they have Marta back and, you know, the incredible rookie Messiah Bright, who has the coolest name in the league. Like, yeah. I wish I had, like, anywhere near cool of a name. So I'm excited for the game.
Definitely excited to see Marta.
Oh, yeah.
I think sometimes, like, that's part of, like, the excitement, right? So, like, at the last game against Oil Rain, right, like, so many people were there to see
Rupino. Yeah.
And I was excited to see her and Sue Bird. I got, like, super excited. but, you know, and now to see Marta. And these are folks that are retiring or have mentioned their retirement. And so, you know, it adds that special, like, you know, it's just like a special moment in the game. I still want to win. I still want to beat them completely 3-0, like you said. But I am excited to catch glimpses of some amazing players that really, you know, left a legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, not to talk about our rivals, but seeing the Melanie Barcenas taking a picture with Marta, like, that was so cute, right? This 15-year-old with, like, a legend who is, like, you know, playing her maybe, like, last couple years of football. And
And I think a lot of us got really teary-eyed with the interviews that were happening during the World Cup with Marta, where she talked about not having anyone to look up to and now knowing the person, and having moms or, like, point her out and say, my daughter wants to be you, you know. Like, that for me, like, I'm getting chills right now just thinking about that interview, because I'm like, oh my goodness, like, she really paved the way for so many people. And so you're right, seeing that image was so powerful.
Absolutely. Like, and it's incredible that she gets to play side by side with them. Like, that's beautiful. They're gonna have those memories forever. I'm excited for the game. I don't know how much is going on tailgate wise because it's a Monday and everything.
Yeah, I mean, they're still gonna have, like, the same kind of
fan fest
that they were planning, some musicians and dancers. We'll probably do, like, we call it, like, sometimes tailgate light, a smaller version. But I know many of us are so excited to go, and there will definitely be a surprise coming from La Fortaleza. You didn't hear it from me.
Really?
No, but I literally definitely didn't. Make sure that you're there to see it happen.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to find out what it is.
Oh, and then they're giving a cute little giveaway, the little photo frame.
Yeah, first 10,000.
Yeah. So make sure you're there.
Somebody save one for me. I will literally be coming from the airport.
I know. Yeah. I'll save you one.
All right. Sure. Bet. Appreciate it. All right. Now it's time for our Our Story segment, researched by our very own Gretchen. And today's guest host for that segment is Daniel Luna, who you might recognize from his vibrant glitter beard every single game. Welcome, Daniel.
What up, Poderosas and AZFC fans. Thank you for having me. Super excited to do this part of the podcast. And shout out to Gretchen for preparing this for us. As we head into the playoffs and all of the global news around football, we wanted to take a look at the development of professional women's soccer in the United States. Right now, we'll look at what preceded the NWSL, and next time we will look globally. The NWSL has been around longer than its two modern predecessors, the Women's United Soccer Association, followed by the Women's Premier Soccer League, and the W League, leading to WPS, also known as Women's Professional Soccer. It's the first professional soccer league in the U.S. to play a fourth season, and much more obviously. NWSL's first season was in 2013 and included eight teams, with the Western New York Flash, Boston Breakers, Chicago Red Stars, and Sky Blue FC, now also known as Gotham. From WPS, we have Portland Thorns FC, Seattle Reign, Washington Spirit, and Kansas City. We now have 12 teams, which is amazing. And Utah and the Bay Area are also joining in 2024, and Boston may join in 2026, so it just keeps growing. Less than 20 players from the first WNSL season are still on the rosters, which includes one of my personal faves and one of all our faves is our very own Jasmine Spencer of ACFC. She's actually played for six different teams over the 11 seasons. Washington Spirit, Western New York Flash, Orlando Pride, OL Reign, Houston Dash, and now ACFC. And Cindy LaRue, the first player to score a hat trick in the WSL. And Merritt Mathias, who played in the very first NWSL game. A decent retrospective article about the 10 years of NWSL was published by Sports Illustrated ahead of the last season. NWSL's 10-year growth through the eyes of its lifers. Stay tuned for our next episode where we'll look at women's football globally. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Daniel. All right, it's time for our plugs segment where we talk about businesses that we support and, you know, a few other things, maybe even us. Like, if you want to support us, this is our time to pitch ourselves. Yes. But starting with the most important one, which is our LA business of the pod. Who do you got? Who's your local spot?
I know there's so many great places around here, but I'm gonna go ahead and kind of give a shout out to Diana Diaz, who helped start, along with a team, Queer Mercado and Goddess Mercado. And so what that is that the Goddess Mercado meets the second Saturday of every month, and Queer Mercado meets the third Sunday of the third Saturday of every month, in the East LA Civic Center. They also have a store in El Sereno called also the Goddess Mercado Boutique. And the reason I'm giving them a shout out is that, you know, they're all, you know, vendors from the community, and there's beautiful clothing, jewelry, soap, tea, like anything that you can imagine. It's just such beautiful products. So definitely recommend y'all checking them out. Supporting queer, BIPOC vendors. And if you're interested in getting involved, if there's someone out there that wants to start a business, definitely reach out to Diana and see if, you know, you can go ahead and set up a table. So I highly recommend folks to go check out their marketplaces.
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely will. Which, speaking of, you know, like new homegrown, like businesses by, you know, Latinos, by our people here in LA, I recently got myself a little batch of coffee beans from Baseline Bakery, who my very good friends like just began this company. They actually came to our last tailgate and they brought us like desserts and cookies and stuff, and everybody loved it.
Oh yeah, my mom took like a pastry home and later was like, where is this pastry from? It was so delicious. And I was telling her about your friends.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, they just began it. So I mean, if you guys want to follow them on Instagram, right now they don't have like a storefront yet, so your support on Instagram is everything. It's Baseline_bakery on Instagram, so check them out. Check out Queer Mercado, check out Goddess Mercado, We're going to link them on our Instagram and in the description of this episode. So check it out. Do you have any podcasts or books or movies, anything you've been watching that you're like, oh, hell yeah?
So one of the hats that I wear, I am the proud GSA sponsor at my school. And so I'm always out to find, queer LGBTQ youth, young adult type of movies, books, all of that good stuff. And so we were so excited to go see Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe. It's based on a novel. And it was so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. The kids loved it. It's just a beautiful love story. Also about friendship. Also about family acceptance. Has Eva Longoria, who was at La Fortaleza, the last game, drumming. She's also one of our owners. So she's in it along with Derbez. And then just some amazing young Latino talent that are just did amazing. So I highly recommend it. I feel like it hasn't gotten as much publicity as it should. So definitely go see and support, queer Latinx representation. So I highly recommend.
And go quickly because...
Yes, I don't think it's going to be out for long.
Yeah, very limited release with the strikes and with everything happening. Yeah. They're not getting to do press. Like, it's really sad because this is a quality movie.
It is. For anybody
that knows me from my, like, other podcast, Cabrones y Chingonas, I am a harsh critiquer. And this movie blew me away.
Yeah. It was, there was moments that were so heavy. And I was like, oh, my God, I just need to discuss it with folks. So, yes, please go watch it because I want to hear what you all have to say and share my thoughts with folks. But the students loved it. And shout out to Latino Equality Alliance, which is another Boyle Heights-based organization. They actually helped us take the students. And so we were able to go see it at Americana. And it was just such a fun night with our GSA.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for bringing that one because I love that movie. And also please follow us for, any other updates that, we might come up with any new events, any other shout outs to our Poderosas, because Poderosas always have something going on. We're at @Poderosas_ACFC. That's for the entire organization, not just this podcast. So check that out. Thank you so much, Emily, for coming on the podcast.
Yeah. Sorry it took me a while, but I made it out. So thank you. Good. This was actually, I was really nervous, but you definitely made me feel very comfortable. And I'm glad that I was able to come out.
It helps to have Distrito 14 next door.
Yes, it does.
Quick chela before the, absolutely. So, but.
And shout out to Espacio for always hosting us.
Yes, absolutely. Espacio is the best. I'm about to go shopping after hours right now. And shout out to everyone who's listening to the show. It's growing. Share with your friends. Honestly, sharing on Instagram and on social media, that helps us so much. Rating us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, that helps a lot. And hopefully we can continue this and just keep spreading the joy and stick around for the off season.
Yes, so. For sure.
All right. Bye, guys. Thank you so much.
Bye, everyone.
See you at the next game.